Side.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for downloading this episode of You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a fun episode where we get to learn about PC music with our good friend Chris Kelly from Fact Magazine. PC music is a label of which I have very, very little information, and once you finish listening to this episode, you will have all of the information that I have. A little PSA before we begin. On October 1st, Wednesday, October 1st, I'll be hosting the opening night of Venson Ball, which is a comedy festival in Washington, D.C. It's Tignataro, Kyle Kinane, Jeff Garlin, Ben Kronberg, Kate Berlant, and myself. That's at the Lincoln Theater in D.C. On Saturday, October 4th, I'll be hosting 8x8 at the Black Hat as part of Venson Ball. Stephanie Haas, my good friend from Chicago, will be co-hosting with me. On that bill is Mike Leibowitz, and that makes me happy because he's a funny man. And I think Lisa Traeger's on that show. It's going to be very funny. Next week, on Wednesday, October 8th, I'll be doing this cool thing called Important Records. And Rock Falls and I will be discussing Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Dig Lazarus Dig. We've done two of these before, and they're a hell of a lot of fun, and I highly recommend you come out. And then, finally, last plug before the show actually begins, on Thursday, October 9th, I will be hosting You, Me, Them, Everybody live at The Hungry Brain, something I have not been able to say in the 2014 calendar year, which is very odd, considering that's where we're from. So, four shows over the next, I think, 8 days? I think that's how time works. So, without further ado, here's Chris Kelly informing all of us about PC music. I was at your house the other week, and I knew of a song. I had an idea of a song.
That a song existed.
But it wasn't something I could Shazam, and it wasn't something I could look up the lyrics to, or I knew the producer or anything. I just had an idea that it sounded like something people would hate.
And I found it for you.
And you found it for me. And
yes.
And the name of the song is what?
It's Pink and Blue.
Pink and Blue.
Yes.
By?
Hannah Diamond.
Hannah Diamond. And this is a song that came out in 2013?
Yes.
Could you play like 10 seconds of this thing?
I waited for so long for a guy like you. Just a guy who likes me too. And I think I like you maybe.
Alright, we've been playing that in the BYT office. I haven't been playing. Somebody's been playing in the BYT office on and off for like the last 6 months. And I love that song. I have no idea who it is, what it comes from. And I understand that this is a polarizing song. Now, what is it? This is on PC Music?
PC Music is the label run by in London by a guy named A.G. Cook.
Okay.
They kind of popped up last June.
June of 2013.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm sure people there knew it. I wasn't really familiar with it until they did this mix March of this year.
Okay.
But they've been putting out very self-contained little free digital releases, either a song or an EP or an album.
So, this girl's name is...
Hannah Diamond.
Hannah Diamond. Are there any other Hannah Diamond songs?
There's another one that's a ballad that came out this year called Attachment.
That's it. She has two songs in 2 years.
Yes.
And does she play out live? Does she...
Is
she a studio creation?
No.
Is this a real person?
She's a real person.
Okay.
He's only... A.G. Cook does the production on those songs, and throughout the label, there are other collaborations. There's other stuff that just might be him under aliases.
Mm-hmm.
But... he's only done one interview, and he did it right around the beginning of the label before it was kind of formed, where he kind of said that he liked to find people who are not traditional singers and put them in like pop singer mode and do the whole recording process. So they're not like, this is not a person who would necessarily be making music otherwise.
But this isn't anti-pop either.
It's definitely not anti-pop.
Yeah, this is someone...
It's very much someone who loves pop music.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think it's a joke, though. Is it a joke?
No, no, no.
Okay.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people, you can look at that one level of like, well, she's not quite hitting the notes, or the phrasing's weird, or it doesn't sound like singing.
It doesn't sound like singing, in a good way.
Yes, and some of it is, and some of it isn't. Some of it is very, you know, it's... talking, it's not really rapping. It's like conversations. It sounds like overheard conversation at the mall.
It's like a less melodic Streets from a girl.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I'm sure Streets is in the mix of the influences. Generally, it seems to be UK garage stuff, big David Guetta rave things. I mean, '90s stuff, Alice DJ, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Now, we're I'm talking to you about this because this is your job.
Yes, sir.
You are the U.S. editor of Fact Magazine, which yes. is a UK-based music.
UK-based.
So if I was going to go into any random apartment in the District of Columbia and ask, hey, do you know the song with the high-pitched girl singing about making you maybe like her? You would know what it is.
Right. Not too many people other.
Now, have you had a conversation with anybody in the States about this label?
Only people, you know, on the axis of people who I work with or people who do radio or people okay. who do...
What's the consensus? Is this approved? Is this liked? Is Pitchfork like it? Does anybody even write about it?
So the consensus, and it's almost become cliche, it is cliche at this point, is that it's divisive.
Okay.
Because it's on, when people are rating this stuff, it's 0 or 10. There's no one in the middle
what
ground.
What would you rate it?
I give it a 10.
Okay, so you are yeah. also on that camp.
Yes, and I think it's like that by design. And it is interesting in a way that... I can't think of other music that when people are hearing it and, you know, people are coming to it in different ways, there is a very divisive reaction. And vehement. It's like the comments on these threads, no matter who's writing about it, either Fact, mm-hmm. Vice did a piece on it, Pitchfork is caught up on it, Fader, all the that segment of like the underground, you know, online press. Mm-hmm. People either love it or hate it, and the hate it, as always, is louder.
What does PC stand for? Do you know?
I think it's just personal computer.
Personal computer. I was yes. politically correct.
That's
see, sad.
That's, well, it's also, I'm sure, up to interpretation, but I think part of it is it's computer disseminated, computer culture. A lot mm-hmm. of their visuals and their aesthetic is a lot of that somewhere between, you know, the Web 1.0 stuff. You know, someone, one of the guys on the label, you'll like his name, is Kane West. So we get some Google spillover.
I do like that name.
And his cover was Kane West in Comic Sans in black on a white background. And it's so it's a very... But versus there's some of the other stuff is this hyper neon...
yeah, because I haven't seen any of this stuff. Right. So I'm assuming it would look like early 90s anime.
There's some of that. And there is that influence of... There's the... And I wasn't familiar with this until kind of reading more about what they're doing. But... Hatsune Miku,
okay.
which is like a, it's a humanoid. Hatsune Miku. It's a Japanese thing. It's a humanoid persona, voiced okay. by a synthesizer. So they kind of,
okay.
they kind of made a. In the way you're asking, is this like a real person?
Yeah.
They had made a, you know, an anime avatar for this person, for this character, and then made a synth kind of app.
And this is part of PC Music.
This is
as
not,
well.
But it's also okay. this is part of when you're saying anime and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's in the same world where they've made albums for this person that doesn't exist. Kind of like.
So this comes Simone. From the UK garage world, kind of.
These kids are really young. I think Izzy like, Cook is born in 90. So yeah, they're like mid. They're like early
mid-20s. Okay.
I mean, I think the UK garage stuff, as far as like the pop, how that was just a pop sound
uh-huh.
there for a while coming up. But also, it seemed, you know, the influences, you can kind of hear that. All the stuff that came after Spice Girls.
Yeah, this is like they unabashedly like the Spice Girls.
Yes.
No shame.
J-pop and K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
And also stuff on the, you know, the electronic world, the stuff that's come out of the UK in the last few years that's big and synthy and... Hudson Mohawk, mm-hmm. Rusty, and they're one of the guys in the larger camp is on... One of those labels members.
So
it's
like,
gotten. So it's also kind of flirting with, you know, a label that like Numbers, which is based in Glasgow, that has a lot of underground cred. They've uh-huh. put out some of stuff on this axis.
So PC Music is sort of an intentionally fringed everything. It seems like they're doing something that was heavily influenced by the mainstream, but the odds are they're never going to cross over.
Yes and no. I mean, probably not, because it is at some points it is a little too weird and too extreme,
mm-hmm.
and that's intentional. But it also has this kind of communion with commercial music, obviously, where it is influenced, and they're also some of these hooks they're aiming for that. You know,
have any mainstream artists like done a guest first on any of this stuff yet?
No. The closest is I believe Sophie was producing for and I can't pronounce the name, but like a big J-pop star.
Okay, so it's crossing over into a different sort
a different
of
world.
Mainstream.
Right.
Give me another song from this label. Give me the most well-known, because I don't think the one I like is the most well-known.
You know, it's, I mean, that's the thing too. It's very tough to gauge this stuff. I mean, I can do by SoundCloud plays, but it's not like any of this stuff is like, well, here's the typical song. But I can give you, you know,
give me the one that you prefer.
Sure.
That kind of sounds like a MIDI version of an Aaliyah song, but like slightly sped up.
Yeah, there's some of that percussion. It also sounds, you know, it's a vocoder type vocals, but that's also Hannah Diamond's vocals. That's an AJ Cook song called Carry Baby. But there's a lot of that speak and spell type of lyrics. The lyrics are very intentionally kind of vacuous.
Yeah.
And like, and it is commenting on pop lyricism, sure, but it also, conspicuous consumption. There's a lot of songs about brands. They have this kind of satirical relationship with Red Bull.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's entirely one-sided. Red Bull
doesn't know.
Please
keep talking about this.
They basically said that they are, you know, the official music for some Red Bull side brand, and they're not. And
this is great. I'm liking this more and more and more.
The biggest, the highest profile at this point, which I could also play for, it's not on their label, but it's definitely like the biggest, the most press they've gotten is Hey Cutie, which is the group is Cutie, the letters.
Yes.
And this is a group between A.G. Cook and Sophie.
Okay.
And the song is Hey Cutie.
Okay.
And the song has a female vocalist, and the Cutie is supposed to be this vocalist, this person's pop star they've created.
Yes.
And the story is that the song was a long form promotion for a energy drink called QT.
Okay.
It doesn't exist. And this is where it starts to get very much into, like, A.G. Cook came from a visual arts background, and this is where it really gets into the art school performance art.
This is, play that song. This is great. This sounds like we're getting into like negative land territory here. We're just fucking with branding right now. And is Cutie supposed to be like a Red Bull offshoot, or is this they're coining their own?
Coining their own. Okay. They had the kind of graphic design.
Yeah,
it's that 3D design that you can't tell if it's real or not.
This is great.
Yeah. This one doesn't have any of the weird touches. It's straight pop. Like, it could potentially be on the radio.
Yeah, it could. You kill that.
So that's Cutie, and that's the song is Hey Cutie. And
do you know if anyone's made, like, some bootleg Cutie energy drinks?
You know, I don't, but that is probably
like
would
when
help
they,
there.
If they ever tour, if they right. that's going to be an item.
Right.
Do they sell any merch? Because these are all free songs, which
free
makes
songs,
even more interesting.
Free songs, also on SoundCloud, yeah.
So it's free to listen to, free to download. Listen.
Right, and
yet they're pretending to be sponsored by an energy drink.
Right, or making their own. Or
cool.
And live, and this one actually was on, this is kind of where they are kind of getting into a larger part of the underground, is they're on, this was on XL Recordings.
Okay.
Which is a pretty mm-hmm. big label. And so it's also getting those cosigns from kind of taste-making labels and stuff like that. This one is interesting. There's good video for this. The Boiler Room events, Hudson Mohawk had done one, and he curated the whole lineup. And QT and Sophie were on the bill. And QT's performance after its Tim and Eric intro,
like actually Tim and Eric or Tim and Eric-esque?
Wareheim. Yeah, no, it was Wareheim like on a fake Skype video chat.
Oh, really?
And beamed him that in, played that pre-roll, and then.
But they like endorsed this then. Was it was the Tim and Eric thing have anything actually to do with them, or they just like used Tim and Eric?
No, it was at some point they were doing stuff with Boiler Room with these artists. He chose the artists. So QT comes out, the air quotes around QT, this model kind of comes out, sits on a Chase lounge, reads fashion magazines as kind of like an intro to the song plays, and it's kind of just her internal monologue, I guess. And that was about 5 minutes of that. And then she gets up and does a very clearly lip-synced version of the song with, like, the phoned-in, you know, arm movements, like, the choreography.
That's great.
And just the one song, because that's all there is.
That's so great.
Yeah, so it's definitely an art school thing, and it's also, this is something that came up in, like, a Vice article, too. It's about bringing some femininity back to like electronic music, dance music. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the last few years. It is get a broiness. Invades.
Well, doesn't this bring? Doesn't amplify broiness in a way? This doesn't conform to gender stereotypes.
I wouldn't. It does in a way, but also just by existing, mm-hmm. it's putting a.
So it's something better than nothing,
type right? Of thing. Where the, you know, and this is where the people that hate it are, you know, guys who really like techno and they really like
Who's disco hating records. This stuff? I don't understand it.
The usual people who that's not music. That's not my idea of music.
But those type of people, this is a horrible generalization. I'm both sides here. Wouldn't ever listen or care. You know what I mean? Right. Why would this even enter into their scope?
Well, if they and I just used the site I work for as an example. Yeah. Is if you're a fact reader from the last 10 years and you're into kind of techno and house and kind of weird hip hop influenced beat stuff and dubstep, and you're going to an outlet like this, and all of a sudden we've been vocal about wanting to disseminate this stuff, to interview this, to mm-hmm. get this music out. They see it as like a betrayal of, it's another brand, but it's also like why are you covering this instead of the thing I like?
Well, this isn't squeezing anybody out though. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's why none of these arguments are, you know, make any sense. Like you can cover all of the things, you know, all the underground, all the experimental stuff, and also talk about Kanye and Beyonce and PC music.
Yeah.
And this is a larger point that happens a lot.
Are there any PC music DJ nights, to your knowledge, in the States?
No, not at all.
So when the Boiler Room thing, is that in the UK or isn't that New York?
They'll do them anywhere. That's usually, it started as London, but they do New York, they've done LA.
Okay.
That one was in LA.
That one was LA.
Yeah, and okay. It's a lot of guys who probably went out because they like Hudson Mohawk, they like Tonight, they like, I guess the songs they produce for Kanye, they like the, you know, Blood and Leaves, but they, you know, they like his more, you know, big electronic trap rap type stuff, and then they are confronted with this, uh-huh. which the trap thing became is kind of this macho, you know, fist pumping take on rap. And so when you're confronted with either a model pretending to be a Spice Girls wannabe, pun intended, or Sophie who DJs sometimes in drag, it's clearly there is an issue of that there.
So I come from a world of guitars. What's the comparison? Who is this? Is this your Klaus Nomi of the scene? Is this the New York Dolls? What is this going to represent? Is this going to lead to anything else?
It's so early.
Is it too early to tell?
Okay. Because there is, you know, and I don't think that, not that they're naive and they don't know their stuff. I don't even think something like New York Dolls would be on their, you know, their radar.
Okay.
But you'd have to attribute that after the fact.
Yeah.
And say this is what it is. You know, it's trying to think of something in rock that kind of reappropriated, you know, poppier stuff or. There is, you know, the glam thing is kind of.
Sha-na-na at Woodstock would be it. Yeah. Like, in a way, it's like 15 years after the doo-wop explosion or whatever.
Right. And this is
romanticizing the 50s. This is romanticizing the late 90s, mid 90s girl group stuff. And right now it's got a very polarizing voice. And, well, except people seem to not like it.
Yeah. I mean, but there are people that do like it. And it is, you know, this stuff doesn't happen just because, you know, these aren't great conspiracies where Pitchfork and Fader and Fat get together and say we're going to cover this.
Yeah.
You have to listen to it.
Yeah.
People are following it. It is spreading. There are, you know, there's a Sophie played at MoMA PS1's warm up at the final show.
And were you there for that one?
Yes.
How was that? Did anybody know who it was?
There was some people that would definitely get into it in some of the songs. It didn't really work in the space. It's like an outdoor during the day.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the earlier sets, and that was a weird one. Because Skrillex, at that point, I think people knew that Skrillex was going to be there, so I'm not sure what the crowd was like. But then Sophie played at 88 Palace that night, and in a dim sum place that turns into a club at night, and it was the craziest.
You were there.
Yeah, so it was like the rave in a movie in the 90s, like in Go. Like it was that, but in a converted dim sum place, and people going crazy, and it was like a mosh pit to dance pop stuff.
So that was a whole night of this stuff.
A lot of it, yeah.
And it got a very good reaction.
Yes.
What do you hope happens with this?
Yeah, I'd like.
I know it's not yours, but
no, yeah, I'd like to see them keep pushing it and seeing kind of like you said, like what kind of, you know, they're, these guys, they've created their own kind of worlds.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own singers. They have their own aesthetic, their sound. But I would like to see it kind of bump up against kind of mainstream pop, and see it get appropriated, because I think that's part of it too, is seeing to try to like almost like infiltrating, and kind of seeing how they could turn it back on itself.
Who do you think is the most likely producer or artist to like take these guys under their wing and bring them on like a European or American tour?
That like, one, yeah, that one's tough because there isn't some of the stuff right now. It just doesn't seem, you know, I can't tell how much of it is. A lot of the touchstones are not, you know, American ones. So I'm trying to think of like UK producers that could do it.
Like Robbie Williams' producer is not going to be like, let's take this one on the road,
right?
Okay,
yeah, it's still early. It's a year. It's a 50 song catalog. It's
pretty cool.
Yeah, and it is great, but it's also, you know, watching this stuff and watching people go in different directions with it and kind of seeing where it's going.
Is there any other genre or like subculture that's doing something like this that I might enjoy? If you knew I liked PC music, what else is there out there?
That's, I think, the thing that's great about it and why it's getting a lot of attention is there really isn't. Yeah, I mean, there's elements of it. If you know, the visual aesthetic was kind of the C-punk stuff. And,
yeah,
and there are other people. You know, there is J-pop and K-pop, but you know, they're taking it, pulling from, you know, such diverse touchstones that there isn't really another scene like it.
What's the one song from this catalog that you hope people hear? And we'll close on that. So it'll be four songs total.
Okay,
that's I think that's fair.
I think, yeah. And that's the great thing about it, too. You hear a couple, and you kind of know.
Like, I don't know if I want to hear 6 hours of this stuff.
Yeah, it's a little tough to take.
But I like it every once in a while.
Yeah, and I think that's great about it, too, is that it is... It isn't produced in the way that you can just be in an Urban Outfitters for walking around for 6 hours and hear the kind of same tonalities and the same production techniques over and over again. Even if it's an indie rock track or something that sounds like hip hop or something that sounds like kind of boring electronic stuff, this you would hear and it does.
It catches
your ear.
Have you been to an H&M with a DJ yet?
Yes.
Where were you?
I think that was the Connecticut Avenue one.
Was it a fat DJ?
Maybe.
There was a fat DJ, and this fat white guy with like a shitty beard like mine, in the New York, someone in New York, and he was just profusely sweating, and it was like right, it was literally next to the lingerie, and underneath the like, I'm a lady with boobs, like bra, ad, he's just this guy like fucking getting into his laptop, which
laptop
we all,
set.
His laptop set at like 4, DJ man,
pretty intense.
Pretty cool. Well,
That's
a good gig.
That guy is the guy who's going home and then commenting when we say it's the best label of the year.
He should like... Did you really say that PC Music was the best label of the year?
Well, we haven't said yet, but...
Is it leading the charge?
Let's see. It's the only label that I think people are
this is
consistently talking about.
Play one more.
All right, let's do it.
Any final J-pop, K-pop, PC words?
Just go to SoundCloud. Just go to PCMusic.info. Yeah, just
is it really .info?
PCMusic.info. Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
It's all there. Better. Yeah.
They should have got .biz.
Yeah.
You should buy that.
Yeah, and get all the redirects.
Like, no, you should.
Kane West.
I might go back and buy PCMusic.biz and sell the energy drink.
That's nice.
Give it to the cutest girl. Ooh.